This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy.
You'll be listening to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode 82, sponsored by YouBuyNow.com and the Netflix.
It's my strange. You look at happily in your end. I'll give yourself a shoe, babe. Or have you picked your target yet? Yes, and then.
Welcome to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast. This is Doctor Strange in astral form. Each week, Ron, Hunter, and Josh alternate sequentially, and one of the fanboys picks his favorite comic book that came out that week. Their discussion of both the pick and all the other comics that came out that week comprise the very content of this podcast. Warning! There will be spoilers! If you have not read this week's offerings, stop this recording and return when... I'm sorry! Dread Dormammu requires my attention again! By the hoary host of Hoggoth, I do command thee!
Wait a minute.
Wait.
Who the hell is Hunter?
I like that he went through the trouble, but he doesn't know your name. Like, he knows every beat that we hit and every intro ever, but he never picked up on the fact that you're Connor.
You guys are replacing me? Seriously, come on.
Hunter, be quiet. Shh. He's still on the show.
That's his name. That's the Doctor Strange as read by Hunter. That was his tryout. You know what? He made it.
When that first came in, I was like, wait a minute.
He likes Batman even more than you.
Where did Hunter come from? For those of you who don't know what that was, a couple weeks ago we were talking about how we were tired of doing the intro, and we invited you all to take a whack at it, and that's this week's intro. Dr. Strange, we thank you for introducing us, and we appreciate it. And
he's raised an oppressively high bar.
Yes, and if you want to submit your own intro, you know the spiel, just send us an MP3 or call the voicemail line, and we'll put you on the show if it's any good. Like, you know, Dr. Strange just set the bar pretty high.
And you don't need to do all that.
No,
we got a couple this week that were lower production value, of course, and you know, but the Dr. Strange one was pretty impressive. So.
But don't think, I don't know how to do all that. I'm not going to do it. Hey, just bring your charming self.
Exactly. We love it. So, all right. So, let's get into it. Josh, you had the pick.
I did.
It's weird not having to talk about all the stuff that we normally do. I'm just like, so.
All right. It was a pleasantly light week.
Thank Christ.
I was so happy. It was 7 books, and I was like, yep. Oh, that's nice. And it's funny, but because there was only 7 books, I was like, well, I don't have to start reading for a while. So I was still up till 2 a.m.
Smart. I had 7 books, too, but somehow I walked away with 8 because I don't have a pull list. I buy, like, I just go in every week. And they still had the new this week tag under Justice League of America, so I bought it again.
You You guys used to make fun of me for not having a list, but you don't see me doing that crap.
So if anybody wants Justice League of America number 9, I have it cheap on eBay. Okay.
Anyway, so I'm going to talk about the pick of the week, which for me was Captain America number 26. I wrote in my review that we were dangerously close to it being the Spirit. I had gotten almost all the way through this Captain America issue, and I was like, okay, I guess we'll go with this because this was the last thing I read because I was most looking forward to it. And the last scene, when Bucky shows up, it's just like, for some reason, Ed Brubaker, when he writes Bucky, I'm just 100% there. It makes me so happy.
He's locked in with Winter Soldier.
Yeah. This is the 3 months later aftermath of the day after Steve Rogers was shot. Is that about right? It's maybe 6 days later, something like that. I forget.
Did they ever give a timing? I never got a timing out of it.
Yeah, they did at some point.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, basically,
the funeral happened. It was after the funeral.
The way that he seems to be telling this story is like he spends a little time with Sharon Carter, and then he spends a little time with Sam the Falcon. I don't know Sam's last name.
Wilson.
Sam Wilson. And they go to the wake and for the sort of official wake where the S.H.I.E.L.D. people and the registered superheroes are. By the way, did either of you guys see Joe Quesada?
Yes.
Yes.
Found him. There he is. I'm assuming that a lot of these other faces are real people too, but I don't know. And then we see what the Red Skull is thinking, and then we see the new Avengers, the rogue wake for him. And then finally we end with seeing what's happening with Bucky. And it's a little disjointed, but it's just like, here's what's happening here, and here's what's happening here, and here's what's happening here. And as I went through it, I was getting more and more into it. At first, with the Sharon Carter stuff, I was like, yeah, I get it. Because that's like the one part that, like, I don't know, I feel like I don't need that part of it, that she shot him. I feel like there's...
Isn't that the crux of it? I mean, isn't that it?
I don't think... I mean, maybe it is, but, like, to me, there's enough tension in the fact that Captain America's dead... And
right, but look at the tragedy of that. Like, they've always been... They've been
the love of her
and,
love of his
yeah, the
life,
love of their life, and then she fucking killed him.
Obviously, there's something to it. For me, personally, that's the part that interests me the least, for whatever reason, because she's
you're
got
in
that,
trouble,
like,
then.
Yeah, you're in a...
the story for the rest of the thing.
Heaps of trouble.
Well, I mean, like, there's the tension...
Just drop it now.
There's the tension of who's going to end up taking over Captain... Somebody's going to do that. Brubaker...
Do you think someone will? I don't know.
Brubaker's been dropping hints about it. There's a history of that happening when Cap, you know, quits or gets fired or does whatever.
It's going to be Red Skull.
Somebody takes it up.
Who's it going to be?
Red Skull.
Nice.
Anyway, so you get to the final scene, and it's Bucky in a bar, and you know, there's some people talking shit, and I really got the sense that some of that was Brubaker writing what sort of fans were reacting to. Like, somebody's like, cover up, he's not going to be dead. The whole thing was staged, like, you know, and Bucky just sort of gets in a bar fight, and it's he's got, like, an inner monologue going on, and... It's just a lot of fun, and like I don't quite know what's going to happen, which I think is one of my favorite things about it. Just like you know, you can watch a lot of TV shows and you can be like, this is probably going to happen and this is probably going to happen. But if you watch like The Shield, those cops, you never know what they're going to do. Like you don't quite know what decisions they're going to make, and that's how I feel about Bucky. He's a
complete wild card. He's the definition of wild card.
Yeah, I love that because everything is so predictable all over the place, and at the end he's... This is going to be the spoiler part. At the end, he looks like he's going to make some kind of big choice. And you think he's going to say, I'm going to take over for Cap. And he goes, nah, I'm going to kill Tony Stark. I was like, wow, that's bold. You know, and he's the quote-unquote hero of the book at this point. You know, in a way, I guess.
There's probably three leads now, I think. I don't know. Again, we can't predict it, but it seems like it's going to follow Falcon and Sharon and Bucky.
Yeah, yep. Which I'm totally okay with. Anyway, I mean, I just really dug it, and I want to know what happens next, and I can't predict what's going to happen. And then there's no, oh, we know this is going to happen, and this is going to happen. It's not that way. In full disclosure time, I couldn't quite figure out who did what in this book, because it seems like Steve Epting has been sharing art duty with Mike Perkins, I think, Mark Perkins. It doesn't say in the book. I had to look it up, and I found sort of different information. But basically, it looks like they're sharing different sections, and it's almost hard to tell them apart, but some of this art was really weak.
Before I let Ron give his opinion on this, I had two problems with this book. I really liked it. My one problem was the art, like Josh says. It was really inconsistent. At times, it was really not good. And from a book where you've pretty much had Steve Epting and or Michael Lark doing the art for the whole run, and it's been a really high quality, it was pretty jarring to see pages where I didn't like the art at all. And it's just like, ugh.
I didn't even know. It was weird to me. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, no, I didn't know it was a split artist because, again, there was no credits, but it's much more makes more sense now. Now I understand why a lot of the art was bad.
Yeah, I mean, but when you get to, like, just the Bucky part at the end, that was classic really good Epting.
Oh, totally, totally.
See, now that's really interesting, though, because I'm with you, Connor. I didn't know that there were two artists, and that makes a lot more sense. And one of the things I recently read, the Winter Soldier two-volume trade paperbacks, and that's where Epting and Lark were on shared art duties, but, like, Lark was doing flashbacks while Epting was doing the present. And that's a great way to integrate using two artists. I think that's a genius idea. That's a great way to get around the you know, taking longer to do books, stuff like that. Put two artists on and have them split up the work. But without a device to carry that, and especially
the device here was the different chapters.
Yeah,
possibly. Yeah, but not knowing that there are two artists on it, that kind of keeps.
Well, I think what the bigger problem was was the second guy Perkins' style is so similar to Epting's.
Yeah.
If it had been similar with a different style, it would probably have worked better.
But it's not as polished, so it just looks like crappier. Right. Like I don't even know. I can't quite tell. But there is on the third page just a frame of Tony Stark that's just the weirdest thing ever.
The other problem I have with the book, which has nothing to do with the book itself, is that why did we have to wait 3 months for this?
Well, that's one of the gists of my opinion.
I mean, I waited
for this,
and
the book was good. No, the book was good. It's just that the story wise. Why did we have to wait? I mean, I know why Marvel wanted to put out the Fallen Sun mini, but...
But also, especially considering that the story's been done. I mean, like, that's the thing. Like, Josh, you said that some of the reaction of, you know, like, the story's been done since last summer. Like, it's been written, it's been and drawn. It's been sitting in the can.
Yeah.
And my biggest thing going into it is that, like, you know, I kind of wasn't surprised that you picked it as the pick.
Mm-hmm.
But, because it was, to me, it was like the money pick. This was the most anticipated book of the week. It was the first one I read, stuff like that. And at the end of it, I just had this bad taste in my mouth because not only was the art shitty, not only did I think I liked the narrative of the different kind of sections, but I hated the way he was dancing around what Falcon said at the funeral. I mean, like, I mean, that could be seen as clever, like he didn't print it or whatever, but like after six times, it's like, oh, enough, you know? And then at the end of it, I was just like, we waited for this? Like, this should have come out fucking 3 weeks after Cap gets
that's not 25. Not Brubaker's fault. That's Marvel's call.
Oh, no, I'm not... Did I blame Brubaker?
No, I'm telling the listenership.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It wasn't a book delay. Yeah. It was a publishing decision.
Right, and if you ask me, it was a bad, wrong decision.
I absolutely agree.
They could have still done the Fallen Sun miniseries and had this coming out. And then on top of that, and then this is where I get crazy Marvel Universe guy, and if you're just reading Captain America, it doesn't matter. But, like, I can't stand the inconsistency of, you know, sometimes Tony Stark's in the Nick Fury shield uniform, sometimes he's in a suit, sometimes he's Iron Man. Like, they have to figure out what is the look of the new status quo, because reading Avengers or reading all the other books, it's jarring me.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know it was Tony Stark.
Why can't he wear different clothes?
He can, but it's the kind of thing where they're trying to put him in the S.H.I.E.L.D. director persona, then have him wear the, you know, I think it's kind of weak to put him in the blue Nick Fury uniform type thing, you know?
Well,
like
the S.H.I.E.L.D. uniform. I think it would make sense that he's in the S.H.I.E.L.D. uniform when he's in the S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff, and then he goes out.
Right, but then why is he only in the S.H.I.E.L.D. uniform in this book?
He hasn't been. He's been in the other books.
Yeah, but
I couldn't remember if I'd seen him in that.
Yeah, I mean, it just things like that took me out of it, and I know that's my issue.
The other thing is, like, the scenes with the new Avengers and stuff, this is, like, directly crossing over with the Fallen Sun stuff, and it's just like, we don't need to see this stuff twice now.
Exactly. See, and I didn't read any of that stuff, so that's maybe one of the things I didn't notice.
And not only that, again, because now we're mixed into the whole Ronin mystery and stuff like that, you got Ronin standing there like a sore thumb when it's fucking Hawkeye.
Yeah.
You know, no, like this is
the problem with it, but it's a Marvel thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That said, I love Arnim Zola. And so
I saw that cover and I was like, Ron's gonna be like, I love Arnim Zola.
I was like, yee, excellent, he's got a face for his body.
Whereas I saw that and I was like, that's just the one thing in the book I don't need.
Oh, I love it. I love Arnim Zola. He's a great character. Great character.
You know, it's all those things that you say, you know, they're likely valid, but you know, I didn't notice any of those. Like those weren't bugging me as I was reading it. The thing is, Captain America ongoing now since, and it hasn't been very long, but you know, Connor got me those trades for the first thing because I zoomed through those four trades, caught up to get on issue, and every time one of these comes out, I'm excited to be reading it.
Yeah, that's
and that
cool.
doesn't happen to me with enough issues anymore.
Yeah. And yeah, don't get me wrong. I mean, like, I mean, it was the first thing I read, and I totally agree with you about the Bucky part. The Bucky part kicked ass, and I think Bucky rules, and he was beating people up with a pool cue, with a pool cue stick, so that's always good in my book. But, the thing is that, like, I wasn't, in the same way that you just love it and you were able to forget everything, I just couldn't forget everything, and I ended the book with a bad taste in my mouth. So, you know, so it wouldn't have been my pick, but I totally understand why it was your pick. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
So, depending on what kind of reader you on.
I might not like you, but goddamn it, I respect you.
So in September, we'll get issue 27, and then we'll move on.
It's just fucking bullshit, Marvel. Seriously.
It's not, like, really, you know, it's not really September, is it?
I'm just kidding, Marvel.
Yeah, Jesus. No, Ron was full on ranting. I was like, really?
No, but I mean, this shouldn't... Because basically, they took him out of the play. They benched Cap for this book for 2-3 months.
And if you ask me,
that was the worst thing they could have done.
They benched him for Fallen Sun, which didn't even come out in time to finish before this issue came out.
Exactly. They dropped the ball on this fucking Fallen Sun thing. And you know what this is? This is 6 weeks of that Heroes between January and April. You know what I mean?
Well, like, it absolutely makes sense that after the biggest comic book that they've had, way bigger than Spider-Man
everything.
Unmasking, yeah. You know.
Yeah. Yep, everything they thought would have been big, yeah.
I was in Midtown Comics that day, you know, that... There was movie crews, or news crews, and people who don't buy comics all over the place. That book sold out everywhere.
Yeah.
You should have had issue 26 out 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
But...
You know what's really interesting in a similar vein, and this is nothing to do with Captain America, but when I was at my store, they're having it's their anniversary, so they're having a Memorial Day weekend, they're having a big sale. I actually got a stack of 25 Uncanny and New Mutants back issues for 80% off the cover. So I got 25 copies for like $3. It was awesome. But they had all these long boxes with back issues for 80% at 90% off cover price, and books from like last month to like 10 years ago, right? They're clearing stock. There was one long box multiple long boxes completely filled with Civil War number 5, Civil War number 6.
Really?
Civil War number 4. Like fucking like 30, 40 issues.
And there you go, folks. That is Civil War is sold out.
Yep. And you know what? I dug into it a little deeper. Yeah. When you order a specific amount, you get that sketch variant that then sells on eBay for a shitload of money.
Mm-hmm. That's what they do. They order
the retailer exclusives. Yeah, so what happened is that you got two long boxes full of fucking Civil War issues that nobody's going to read, that no one's going to buy because it just happened, even though it's 80% off, and they're probably going to throw them out or send them back to Diamond.
Screwy!
Yeah, it's this industry's screwed up when you think about it. So anyway, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to downer.
So, I'm going to move on.
let's move on to some lighter fare.
Because that was a poisoned well I had no idea about. I really liked Captain America. There it is. I stand by my pick, damn it. Although right. I almost picked The Spirit.
Yep.
Did you guys read this one?
Yeah.
Of course.
What'd you think?
Spirit is a must-read every month. I laughed. I cried. It was better than Cats.
It's funny because I start this and it feels like it's still developing its visual style. Mm-hmm. But one of the things is the color in this book every month just floors me.
Yep.
I really just love the way this look. It's so vibrant and well produced, I guess. Like the paper and the colors and everything is just
Dave
so,
Stewart
so good.
For you.
And this was sort of a little departure from the normal kind of story where they took, you know, I don't know, it was just a weird story about some blue rock band guy.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. And the Spirit wasn't in it very much. And what I noticed going through this was that I wanted more Spirit.
Yeah.
Like,
that was the downside to the book, I thought.
Sort of, but what it showed me was that I really liked the Spirit.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's good.
Like where there was just a couple of things where, like, he made his little face, you know, and, like, he came in and he was kind of tough. And
I think somebody needs to save up his pennies and get some of the old Will Eisner Spirits and see if it carries through.
This is something that we were talking about that came up is that, like, I don't know what those books are like.
They're like this.
Do you know that?
Yeah, I've read them. I've read some of them, the hardcovers and stuff like that, yeah.
And maybe, you know, that's one thing that I think I would look forward to doing because I imagine that they're very good because everybody's been saying that for such a long time.
They're not, I mean, there's a reason why it's a revered character. And admittedly, the old Spirits are not... You know, there's no time anachronisms, no cell phones, of course, because they're not being done now. And the little campy edge it's there, but it's there because it's there seriously as opposed to being campy. You
sure.
know what I mean? But this is very, very close to the tone and feel of those old Spirit books, Spirit stories.
It's really interesting.
I go pick one up. Check it out, man. I mean, there's probably one in your local library.
I don't even know where my library is.
Can I tell you that my favorite thing about this book month in and month out is the title page?
Yes.
That was
this
a good
one. This one was presented in high fidelity. It was great. It was just, the title page speaks to the story so well every time. Like, good job Darwin Cook to pick up on that.
He gets better every month, which is
weird. I think that's what I'm saying, as going through it, I don't know how he's improving as an artist, but he is.
You know, here's something meta for you. You think he's going to win an Eisner for this next year?
Oh, my head exploded.
He should.
He should. I'm dreading when he leaves.
Like, there's no other book that I can think of that is such an excellent combination of all that's good that has come before it and all that's good now. Yeah.
It's respectful and it's quality. I mean, and it's one and done. I mean, like, it's a good. This is what comics are about. This is a comic book. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's great.
It's not flashy.
Yep.
It's just quality. It's funny because at a certain point, it's hard to describe what's good about it.
Yeah,
haven't said. But I'm so glad I started reading this because I almost didn't.
I'm so glad you read it too.
Yes.
Yay. So.
I'm indifferent.
I thought I was psyched to see the new Criminal with the next story arc.
Criminal number 6 was my pick of the week.
Yeah, it was nominated for 2 Eisner Awards, including Best New Series.
And Best Art Direction.
So Criminal's in the same universe as Sleeper?
Oh, you beat me to it!
I've been dying all day.
Since Wednesday, I've been dying to do that. I'm like, Sleeper.
What's that guy's name?
I don't know.
I couldn't think of it either. Sleeper guy.
Sleeper guy. Yeah.
He's bulked up a little bit.
Yeah, he's looking good. He's a little slimmer.
Holden Carver.
Holden. That's what it was. Yeah.
Apparently, he doesn't have his power anymore.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah,
maybe Brubaker just figured that since nobody fucking read Sleeper. He might as well.
Well, if
just
you
do
like this
again.
Character, go back and read Sleeper because he's great in it. No, it's just what we're joking about. The main character in this first issue of the next story arc of Criminal called Loveless,
number 6,
Lawless is the main character is Tracy Lawless, I believe.
Yes.
Is that his name? Yeah, and the Sean Phillips's drawing of him looks very much like the main character from Sleeper,
which was written by Ed Brubaker and drawn by Sean Phillips.
Right, the project they worked on before this together. Mm-hmm. So. But that said, it was still good. It was funny because I had the funny thought because I remember when, hearing Brubaker talk on different podcasts and talking to him directly and reading this book, I remember the three of us talking about it saying, oh, it's great how this is, going to be all stories about criminals in, the same world and they'll go to that same bar and stuff like that. And I was like, wow, that's just a great idea. And that kind of stopped them. Like, that's what they did in Sin City. And that's what it's not a new idea.
Right.
But for some reason, it feels new to me. And I think that's because it's being done well.
He does really great setup. Like, this is at the end of this issue, you're like, oh, what's going to happen? Like, it's he brings all the pieces in, he brings all the elements in together, and then he mixes them up. But this is the part of the story where all the players are lined up and the situation's lined up, and he does the down and dirty, morally gray criminal mind really well.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You really get a sense of this guy for just this one issue.
And this just got right into it, as opposed to the last one, which was a little slower to start. Remember?
So. You know when you watch a movie or something, and there's like an ambiguity in the beginning, and you'll be invariably with somebody else, and that person will turn to you and go, "What's that?" And you want to go, "Just wait, it's gonna pay off."
Yeah.
Like this kind of book is one of those books where in the beginning, if you're a little bit confused, I totally go with it because. You know that he's going to pull it around, and whatever happens, you'll start to understand the stuff in such a neat sort of package. And I really just, in the beginning, he's chasing this guy, and you sort of get that vague feeling of, did I miss something? And it just so neatly comes around, and it didn't feel, cliched or gimmicky at all.
Yeah. It's just great. It's really good.
It really is.
It's rendered me speechless.
Apparently, it's doing very well.
Awesome. Good
it's doing
them.
Much, much better than expected. So at this point, it's going to be, as long as they can keep that up, it'll be published indefinitely.
Well, if people aren't buying this comic, then I don't understand. So I'm glad it's doing well because this is one of the highest level. I mean, it might be the best thing he's writing.
And I wouldn't be surprised because it's a labor of love. Yeah. So we've talked about this before.
You can see his passion into this one.
Yeah, totally. So. So speaking of a book with passion, on the same kind of tip, we didn't talk about when the first issue came out, but the second issue of Madman came out this week. I think it was I the only one who picked it up, or
yes,
Yeah. Image Comics is publishing it. For those of you who don't know what it is, it's Mike Allred's creator-owned character. And I swear you've probably seen him sometime in the past 10 years. He's the guy, he's all white with the red Shazam lightning bolts, but that's an exclamation point, like got a little dot at the end of it.
Those t-shirts were all the rage in the early 90s.
Yeah, they're great. So this is the second issue. They're kind of relaunching the series, and the first issue and this issue is kind of like a jumping on point. So if you're ever curious about the character, I strongly recommend you go get the first issue and pick up the second issue. That said, I don't know what the fuck's going on in it, but it looks really pretty. It's kind of postmodern. I'll go there. I'll say that it's postmodern. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, he does neat little things. Like the first page, they said previously in Mad Men, and they printed thumbnails of every page from the last issue on the first page. without any dialogue, just the thumbnail of the art, which is like it cracked me up. I'm like, oh, that's great, you know. Like,
that's funny.
Yeah, and the art's really good. Basically, what's happening is that Madman, it's kind of like similar in the way that Animal Man, you know, kind of had that moment of realizing who he is and how he plays in the universe, that sort of thing. Madman's having the same kind of epiphany, realizing that, you know, what his power is and where he belongs to the universe and how the universe is created around him and that sort of thing. And he's trying to regain control to kind of get his life back. And I assume once this finishes, then we'll start, you know, with his life as is.
If you're a madman, can you really regain control?
Who knows? That's the question.
Yeah. Is this a miniseries or is it an ongoing?
I believe it's an ongoing. I mean, like it's from what everything I've read, he's at Image for a while and they're giving it a go, you know? So it's really good. I would recommend it. Like I said, I don't know what the hell's going on in it, but I know it's good. So it's like one of those where I'm like, I know this is going to pay off, so I'll keep buying it. So that's me. That's just me.
How long does it get to pay off?
We'll find out. It's issue two. So I'll check back in with me at issue five. I'll let you know.
He'll give it a good 13, 14 issues.
Yeah. No sketches.
And that's what we call the first pass.
All right. So that was my week. I mean, you pretty much, these three books summed up my week, so. Or four books summed up my week.
Speaking of second passes,
yeah.
Irredeemable Ant-Man number 8 this week by Kirkman and guest artist Corey Walker.
Oh, nice.
You read the first part of this, I think.
Yeah, was that the Miss Marvel story?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was your issue I borrowed that I bagged and boarded, and then you threw the bag and board at me.
That's right. Because I don't have none of that stuff.
I was being nice.
This is a book that just keeps getting better. And I think that the next issue, issue 9, is going to be the return of Hester and Parks to the regular team. I'm guessing that Walker came in just to give them a breather. It just keeps getting better, and I'm enjoying it more each month. I think people should give it a shot again if you kind of liked it but weren't sure what was going on. It's a totally different tone than anything else that Kirkman's doing. It's another one of those things, like, I just don't quite know what's going to happen. But I think that he, at some point, decided to just go ahead and make Eric O'Grady, who's this Ant-Man, you know, just reprehensible at every turn. He just keeps doing horrible things, and it's kind of fun to watch. And one of the things that was really fun about this issue is that he told this girl that he's a superhero, so he has to act like one, and then a fight breaks out down the road, and it's She-Hulk fighting Hyde, and he has to go fight with him, but he doesn't know what to do, and so he gets them out of the way and then fakes it and gets away and tells her that oh yeah, I totally took him out, but he didn't.
So what's the joy of reading the irreprehensible character then?
Is it just humor? Is it just funny? Or
it's a little bit of funny. The Black Fox showed up in this, who's like the old.
You love him.
He's really funny.
Yeah.
Like, he's ridiculous, and like he had some jewels stolen by Ant-Man, and so he goes to steal them back, and then they form a partnership. But he's just so silly. He's got, like, the handlebar mustache, and I don't know. Like, the thing is, you've got to wonder if he's gonna trip and screw up on one of these occasions, and it's going to come back at him, and it keeps not happening, and he keeps getting lucky, and I don't know. It's almost like watching a train wreck, I guess, a little bit. I don't know.
Kind of like my life.
But I really dig the book, and I think that I think people walked off of it too early. Because I think that when it came out...
a lot of them did. I know I did.
I think that when it came out, there was so much stuff going on with all the Marvel Civil War and 52 and all the stuff that it was just like, I can't take another book that I'm not loving right now.
It got lost in the shuffle a bit.
Yeah, I think it came out at a bad time.
I also think a lot of people have trouble reading about a character they don't like.
Perhaps.
It's probably a valid criticism.
No, I absolutely think so. But I can see that, but it's fun, and I like it. So that's my plea. And the only other one thing I wanted to mention is really quickly is that Hellblazer 232. Andy Diggle still on art duty. This is a great time for Hellblazer.
I mean, the writer.
Yeah.
Holy shit, it's up to 232 issues?
Yeah.
That's awesome. I know nothing about that book. That's fantastic.
I have been buying it for 80 issues.
Wow.
So that's no small thing.
So you're a little late to the party.
I am, but that was
Johnny come lately.
That was many years ago. This is one of the only books that I've been reading almost since I started reading comics again without any break.
I love your collection. It's just a series of like 4 issues here, 5 issues there.
I love the fact that you think that matters to anybody. It doesn't.
Yes, it
like
does.
It doesn't bother me in the least that you would flip through something and I'd be missing something in the middle of a run. Yeah. It doesn't affect me in the least, and that drives you crazy.
No, it doesn't drive me crazy. I just think it's stupid.
Anyway, this is a really good jumping on point if you've ever been curious about it. He's been writing a couple of these, and it just has a really pure voice. It's very good for the – it's very precise to what I would think of as the character, and it looks like a whole bunch of stuff is going to go on from here. So if you've ever been curious about it, this is a good time.
How do you know what the character's like? You're a noob. You're a Hellblazer noob.
I've been reading it for 8 years.
8 years?
80 issues.
10 issues come out a year?
No.
Not 12?
All right, maybe 7 years. But the point being, a long time.
Noob. Come back to me when you read 232 of them.
Yeah, actually, what happened in issue number 131?
I've got a couple of trades, though, so that puts me over the top.
Fine, whatever.
Nah.
I know, I've heard it's good. I've heard it's resurfaced.
I know, we're busting chops. We're busting balls. Yeah, no, I think it's great that it's a 232. That's a testament to the title.
Oh, and it's good now. Like, it's I'm really enjoying it, so it's very good.
Do you drop it when it gets bad, or do you plow through?
Never have. I've thought about it a couple of times.
So this one's your Uncanny X-Men.
The last story
we found it. His
we
kryptonite.
Finally found it. 82.
His weakness.
You know, in that 7 years, there's only been 4 writers. It's been Ryan Azzarello for a really long time.
Consistency.
Mike Carey for a really long time, and then Denise Mina was on it for just a little while, and that was really kind of rough.
Oh, do you mean a consistent ongoing with the same talent, layering a long threaded story?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, serialized storytelling?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Comes out every month.
Amazing. Like clockwork?
Like clockwork, on the dime.
Yay. All right, cool. Well, yay for 232. Of Hellblazer. Bully for Hellblazer.
Bully.
Man, this is a light week.
It's hot, dude.
It's hot. Oh. It's fucking, the summer is here.
It's so funny because you can tell. People listen to you going, what's wrong with it? Oh, it's hot.
What's wrong with it? It's 95 degrees in my room.
It's a hot box.
All right, it's only 80 degrees, but it feels like it's 95 degrees.
So, real quickly, we just want to mention one other thing. Trade paperback came out this week called The Homeless Channel by Matt Cillity, published by AIT Planet Lar. I didn't get a chance to read it yet, but...
I did.
You picked it up? Okay, cool. Well, we're going to talk about it in a later podcast, but we just wanted to highlight and tell everybody, if you didn't pick it up, go check it out. It's a great book. I've read the first couple pages of it, so that's how I know it's good. I've read the whole thing, though. But super, super good. Matt's a great guy, and it's a nice indie book that's a little off, you know, it's not superhero-y. It's more reality-based. It's people, talking heads, that sort of thing, but it's good. So check it. And if you're going to be in San Francisco next week, there's a launch party at Isotope next Friday night, June 1st. So
there you go.
I may or may not be at. So.
Well, then.
You're a jet-setting globetrotter.
It is. It depends if my flight's delayed. So. Anyway, so yay, good week, light week.
Woo.
I haven't bought DVDs in forever.
Why?
Well, I used to buy DVDs all the time. It was a drain. Yeah. It was like, hey, it's Tuesday. Can you believe this is unpracticed? How practiced does this sound? But then I got the Netflix. And literally, I don't have time to buy DVDs because I've got the damn things coming to me all the time. And I don't have to feel guilty about not watching the extras because I sent them right back.
You're on the Netflix too?
We're all on the Netflix.
Oh my god, because you know, you can link up friends. We should do that so we could see. We should totally do that so we could see what movies we're watching.
We did that.
I know. I was going with the bit.
I don't understand.
Oh, it all crashes down.
It all came down. Well, anyway, Netflix has got free shipping and no late fees. And fast delivery. I get things the next day.
And we're,
it's amazing.
We're telling you this because if you were thinking about getting the Netflix, it would very much help us out if you could sign up through the site www.netflix.com/ifanboy.
Well, it doesn't just help us. It helps them because they get a 2-week trial.
Yeah. And
for free.
For 2 weeks free, and it starts as low as $4.99. You're stupid to not use the Netflix.
Or you're outside the U.S., then we're sorry.
So go to www.netflix.com/ifanboy. Don't forget the www. This is a special letters edition, by the way. Email edition. Okay, so our first one comes from Rob from Leicester.
Leicester.
Leicester. It's L-E-I-C-E-S-T-E-R. That's Leicester.
Leicester.
The U.K. Hey, ifanboys. He wanted to get our opinion on something. He was reading a copy of The Metro, a newspaper which appears to have a comic book fan on staff. Every now and then there's a pro-comics piece that never comes off as condescending. However, an article about DC reaching out to new readers with writers like Jodi Picoult. Who the fuck's Jodi Picoult?
Wonder Woman. She's a novelist.
Oh, that chick. Yeah. I've seen a series of responses sent in that make me bang my head against the wall. Seems a lot of people think that as long as comics are so degrading to women, they will never break the mass market. At first I was pissed. Then I kind of came around. I spent 10 minutes reading The Century Fight a Naked Chick. A silver naked chick with silver boobs. That's not necessary. Neither are the endless and vacuous pinups of Power Girl and her power cleavage. Some things I see in comics today seem to solve the sole purpose of providing the artist and reader with his own handmade porn. I feel like there's a handful of artists who are really dragging the industry down, providing evidence of the misconception that comics are no more than geek-whacking material. Can comics ever really change that perception while this is going on? Will it ever stop? Does it really have the impact on the industry that I feel it does, or am I just being paranoid? Thanks.
The thing about the handmade porn is it takes much longer to get than this machine-made porn. But you get a higher quality.
It's more expensive, though,
yeah,
right?
It's more expensive, but there's more love involved in the making of it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a very timely question.
Topical, very topical.
Yes.
Yeah, it is.
And we're not touching it with a 10-foot pole. No.
Well, my whole thing is that, like, why are you just looking at the women? Have you looked at some of the men?
Yeah, you know what? I make that argument, and it's a true one, but at the same time, the men are fully clothed.
There's all sorts of different comics available, and for somebody to say that comics are, you know, like, sexist, you know, TV is sexist, but not all of it, some of it. You know, like there's no shortage of progressive, forward-thinking comics that have no sexism in them whatsoever.
You know what's really interesting though is that again at the same time, I mean, and you're right, that's a very good point. And what's also interesting is that you talk about Power Girl, we talk about the Ultron with silver boobs, but like as far as I can tell, there are normal-looking people. And you know what I mean? Like those extremes are what jump out at us.
Yeah,
you know?
At the same time, like yeah, the male bodies are idealized just like the women's bodies, but then there's no male ass shots, you know.
Right.
There's no you don't get male, you know, genitalia hanging out everywhere like with the women, and that's
you said it nicer than I was.
Yeah,
about
and that's
to.
Where the sexism comes in. It's not right. Yeah, everyone's idealized, but it's the way they're portrayed is the difference.
Yeah, you know,
all the artists are men, and that's
but
and almost all the audience is men.
Yeah,
all right. But the thing is, also, is that like I know we dinged it when it was announced, but I picked up the Plain Janes from the Minx line at DC, and I haven't cracked it open yet. But that's seems to be a positive portrayal of girls in comics. It's not superhero-y, but you know, but still, it's you know, it could be a step in the right direction of comics that aren't sexist, that are kind of equal and that sort of thing. Admittedly, they're segmented and target marketed at women, but still.
Well, his other question is this: there's clearly a perception of this. I mean,
yes.
I don't think anyone can argue that there's not a perception. Is the impact on the industry real? Is it going to stop it from ever expanding?
No, I don't think so. I think Diamond will do it before boobs. I think the direct market, I think the economics of the industry are what's holding it back, not the sexism.
I think that there's a whole lot of factors that cause comics to stay in a rut. And this is both a factor and an effect.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, that's a very good point.
You know,
there's all
sorts of reasons, the direct market being one of them, the old boys network of people who produce mainstream comics and buy mainstream comics, you know, and then there's the question of
we're the problem, aren't we?
So sometimes, yeah. I mean, like, but you know, if you don't agree with stuff, don't buy it. But like, then there's the very subjective line between sexy and sexist.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's totally.
And you know, at what point is it not okay to be titillating? Hold it together, Ron.
I kept it straight.
Nice
that
work.
Whole time.
You know, at what point is titillation gone too far into? That was a letter perfect Homer giggle. You know, at what point has it gone too far, and at what point is it, you know, and that line is so different for everybody.
Yeah.
And it's hard, but the thing is, one thing that it does do, I think, is that it tends to reinforce the idea, just like we've had this problem with Wizard or, you know, whatever, it reinforces the idea that comic readers are of a certain type,
yeah.
And that therefore other people don't belong in it.
Right.
Now, there's, lots of other companies, Top Shelf and you know, even
Oni
and Vertigo.
Oni's very positive in terms of that portrayal. They have a lot of girls.
They've just got very
normal,
diverse creators and diverse kinds of stories. And I, you know, that's the key to this.
Yep.
You know, fighting with quality.
But that's also a part of the perception problem, which is that comics equal superheroes.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. And that's the mass media perception, is that comic books equal superheroes.
Yeah. So, Rob, to answer your last question, are you being paranoid? Yes, you are. No, I'm just joking, because he's not being paranoid.
All right.
It's a subject ripe for discussion.
Yes.
And we
don't have
been
the answers.
Happening.
Josh from Kentucky, which is not international.
Is there a Josh every week now, Hunter?
Apparently there is, Hunter.
Shut up. He writes in and says, in an issue of Wizard, the one where they're interviewing Bendis and Bagley about hitting the 100-issue milestone, Bendis said, "You don't see Peter Parker grow out of high school." To this day, I say, WTF!
You read the letters!
The ultimate line is what drew me into comics. How can this be? How many teenage angst stories can they possibly tell without getting old? I mean, eventually we'll introduce all the classic Spidey villains in the ultimate form, but then what? So can you guys confirm this? Has Bendis changed his mind? Is it really his choice? If so, can we submit a vote of no confidence in his ability to continue with the good stories in Ultimate Spider-Man?
Josh from Kentucky, I don't agree with you.
What is this, the Intergalactic Senate?
Yes.
We're doing a
no
vote
confidence.
For no confidence in Bendis, and he sits down all dejected. Wow, I made an episode one reference. What is going on tonight? The heat is getting to me.
The learned gentleman from Kentucky stands at the no confidence vote.
Jar Jar Binks supports him.
Oh. I say that he has done a bad job.
What's a fun game to do, Josh? Take all of your Ultimate Spider-Man issues and try to do a timeline. Seriously, try to figure out, like, in real time, as if, like, count how many days go by, stuff like that. In 110 issues, I think, like, maybe, like, 4 months have gone by, maybe, right?
I don't care.
Well, no,
the
thing is, as someone who's continuity like this, who, like, jokes about, you know, like, I'm someone who does care. Yeah, I mean, like, the thing is that, like, for years, we've joked about the 616 universe, the barometer being Rogue. You know, because we knew that Rogue was 21 at a certain point. So given that, then you could do the math in either direction and you figure out how old everybody is based off Rogue. And the thing is, like, to some people, they do care about that. I mean, like, the biggest topic of about Spider-Man in the traditional Marvel universe is he never should have gotten married. He never should have gotten older. They took away the whole part of it and stuff like that. So what Josh from Kentucky is saying, that he wants to see the character develop and get older and
you should
and
read the
go on.
Yeah. Spider-Man then.
Yeah, exactly.
Read the Marvel Universe Spider-Man.
Oh, you almost said the real one.
Well, it's true. The original.
Here's the thing, though. Ron makes the point that only a few months have passed. It's just like the TV show Lost. Only, like, 3 months have passed, even though the show's been on for...
You know what it's like? It's like fucking Astonishing X-Men. Only, like, 2 days have passed.
That's true. It's another good point.
Brilliant.
The reason that I say I don't care is because I understand that it will never be reconciled with anything that makes sense.
Well, the thing is that as soon as Bendis say, you know, we're gonna age Spider-Man, he's gonna go through high school, then he's gonna go to New York State University, and then, you know, like, some, you know, anonymous college, and then blah blah blah. Then Tom from Kentucky is gonna write in saying, why are they aging him? Why are they moving the story forward? Like, no one's ever gonna be happy.
Well, the point.
I mean, everyone's.
The whole point of Ultimate Spider-Man was so that he didn't do that.
Yeah. Otherwise,
so, like, the question is, how many stories are there like that? As many as will support the book.
Yeah, exactly.
Because when it starts to suck, they'll know.
And the thing is that your no confidence vote is your dollar, so just stop buying it.
Yeah.
But it's good,
but they're not,
so you'll
there
miss
yet,
out.
So don't worry about it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're all good. We're all fine here.
How
all
are
right.
you?
So, boring conversation anyway. So our next email comes from Aaron S., who says you guys often speak of the glut of crappy comics that existed in the whole speculator market downturn in the late 80s and early 90s. In late 80s, had a question mark. Surely there had to be a few shining gems in there. What out of that era is still worth seeking out?
And for that, I'm going to leave the conversation.
Why would you leave the conversation?
I wasn't reading comics then.
Oh, I see.
Noob.
And so if I were to speak on it, I would be lying.
All right, Connor, do you want to take
the problem with this question is I haven't read any of those comics since that time.
Oh, I read through my entire collection yearly.
Yeah, you don't.
All 30 fucking long boxes.
So I can't
My, we don't see him from June till October.
Leave me alone! I'm on the eyes!
He's reading again. I can tell you. I can tell you what I remember as being good. I couldn't tell you if it's good now, though. You know what I mean?
I could take a stab at it.
Go ahead.
I think the first 12 issues of Spawn were worth
reading. Yeah, they were good.
Yep. I think the Max was a great title that was during that Speculator thing and didn't really get caught up in it. Never had a fancy variant kind of cover or stuff like that sort of thing.
The beginning of the whole Image beginning was pretty okay.
Oh yeah, no,
first,
I mean it was
year,
I mean,
of Image.
Yeah,
I've
yeah.
heard that Youngblood didn't actually suck at the beginning.
No, it didn't. Youngblood Strike File was an awesome book. I mean, I gotta the thing is say what you will about Liefeld, what Image did, and actually. I'm going to channel Augie here, but Tomorrow's Publishing has a history of Image Comics, like an oral history kind of thing, written by George Corey, who's a great writer who does all those kind of like he did those artist spotlight magazine issues. What are they called? I forget what they're called. But you see them; they're kind of like they're kind of like periodicals, black and white inside. But he interviewed everybody. Modern Master series, that's what it is. Yeah. But he interviewed all the people from Image and talked about it. And like when it came on the scene, like they improved all the paper stock we have now and the coloring and the printing. That was all because of Image. Mm-hmm. So they were putting out good books. Whether or not the quality that we hold it up to now is the same. But hey, keep in mind that like right in 1993, 94, Alan Moore was writing Wildcats, and Travis Charest was drawing
for
it.
It was money.
It was awful. It was awesome. Not yeah. awful. It was awesome.
That to me sounds like it was near the end of the Speculator boom.
It was mid 90s.
Just
like maybe
before
90,
the Speculator 94,
95.
Just before the Speculator boom, late 80s, when yeah. I was reading back then, I remember like specifically Marvel Comics being really good. The Avengers, the West Coast Avengers, Captain America, Iron Man. I remember all of yeah. those things.
Hey, even Uncanny was great at that time. That was right when Jim Lee came on the scene, and it was at the it was towards the end of the Claremont era. But admittedly, the Speculator boom launch of X-Force and X-Men, that was an exciting time. And those books, like I don't regret buying those books and enjoying them.
The original,
was really good though.
Well, I think they were. I honestly think they were. I think X-Men number one, Adjectiveless X-Men number one, is a rebooting book, and it was really good. It's a beautiful book.
There was a golden age period of Batman comics back then, too. That was when Alan Grant was writing.
Oh, yeah.
They had a lot of experimental stuff. Norm Brayfogle
on Detective, and then Jim Aparo on Batman.
But they did a lot of experimental like horror stories, and that was like that was a golden time for Batman comics before the...
Before the Dark Tower.
Before Dune Dark, and then Greg Rucka and Brubaker came on later.
You did it again.
I know, it's amazing. I gotta watch it tonight now. Okay, so...
there was good stuff at that time.
Yeah, there was some good stuff, but go check out Spawn. I can't believe I just recommended Spawn.
Spawn. Adam from Washington, England.
What?
Yeah, I was confused by that, too. he says, what happened? In the recent podcast, you've been depressed over the total number of shows you've produced. You've grown sick of repeating the intro. Ron was so outraged at Ultimus, he ranted bollocks over and over. Reading comics is fun, even the headache of JLA. Don't let producing two shows in a week ruin the love at iFanboy. Just go, still a good listen, just go easy in the angst. It's like Uncanny X-Men from the late 1980s.
Uncanny X-Men was not angsty in the late 80s.
Bollocks!
Have bollocks. Have we ever been depressed over the number of shows we've done? I think it's awesome. I'm proud of the number of shows we've done. I think it's rad.
Yeah. That whole sick of being the intro thing, that's an act.
Yeah, we love doing the intro. And actually, I mean, and honestly, with the whole intro thing, I think it's really, really cool that people have taken their time to call in or produce an intro for us, and we really like that. And that's a way to involve – like, we like involving you all in the show. It's not that we're sick of doing it. We kind of joke about it because I can do it in my sleep. But, but as far as, bollocks, if Ultimates 13 comes out 9 months and it's got an 8-page gatefold cover, I'm going to say bollocks. Doesn't mean that I'm not having fun. I'm having a
great
time.
It's fun to say bollocks.
We have a lot of fun ranting on comics that make us angry.
You have no idea what it's like not during the show. We'll talk and we'll want – I mean, and this is a podcast cliche, but it's like we'll talk about the comics. And we'll say, no, save it for the show. Save it for the show. Like this is like the highlight of my week, folks, which I don't know if that's a sad commentary on my week.
You're doing nothing but reading through your past comics over and over and over
again. I know. I'm on the L's.
You're fast.
I know.
Very fast. You know what's funny?
This issue of New Warriors was awesome.
When he's talking about ranting, just very specifically, I was looking through something, and I realized that while Civil War made us angry, God, wasn't that fun?
It was a blast.
Wasn't it? How much fun was it to be angry at Civil War?
It was fun. It was not fun to be angry at Captain America number 26
no,
tonight.
I wasn't, though.
Anyway. Ron was.
My pick of the week.
Anyway, and I still don't think Uncanny in the late 80s was angsty, but I will get to it when I'm done with the ends.
Wow. Listen, so, we're not angry. No. We're happy to do the shows.
Yeah, we live in the Northeast. Deal with it. Okay, so if you want to check out any of the books we just talked about, or you want to check out books from the late 80s like Uncanny X-Men, you could go to a site that sells comics. But if you want a toy, or if you want some sort of statue, you better go to youbuynow.com, because youbuynow.com is your place on the web for action figures, collectibles, and prop replicas and all that stuff. They got the DC Direct stuff, Marvel Legends, Star Wars stuff. It's rad.
But they don't have comics.
They don't have comics, so don't expect the funny books.
See, here's the thing. So, I got the script right.
I know, and I fucked it up. So
are you trying to get me in trouble?
Go to youbuynow.com. youbuynow.com.
I'm in the mood for some toys. I haven't had any in a while. I'm going to check out, see what they got going on.
Yeah, I want a bust. I got my eyes on a couple of busts, actually, to be honest with you. I think I'm going to make a bust purchase soon.
I had a joke, but I'm letting it go.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on to the voicemails. Our first voicemail is I suck at these fucking transitions again. God, play the voicemail.
Hi, fanboy. This is Ben from St. Louis. I had a quick question for you. I just had a friend that had a baby, and I wanted to get him a gift, and I was wondering if you guys knew of any comics that would be great for a new dad. So if you could answer this for me, that'd be great. Keep up the great work. Thanks.
What I was going to say was, this is a very good question. And it's a very good question, because I don't have a fucking clue. I've never thought about comics for new dads. Are there any comics about parenting?
I was thinking you should get him some of those ones with the big boobs.
Get some of the old Penthouse comics from the 90s?
Yeah, some Eros comics.
Because he's not going to be getting any.
Fantastic Four? Oh,
that's awful. Yeah, Fantastic Four. That's a family book.
Oh,
yeah.
Look at you.
What's a family book? You know what? They're talking about dropping a ball. There should be a series about Luke Cage and Jessica Jones and the baby. And it should be completely domestic. It should be, like, no supervillains or anything like that. It's just like, Luke, did you remember to buy milk? It's like, damn it, woman, I was in Japan.
And he keeps breaking bottles because he tightens them too much. Damn it, why do they make these so flimsy?
And then Jessica breaks down and cries.
And then, and then the baby.
I've heard a lot.
And then he does it in the butt.
Oh,
you see, there's precedent for that. That's not random. Go read Alias. There's precedent.
I know, but it was really not where we were at the moment. We were in one room, and you were in another wing of the home altogether.
With dim lighting.
Yeah.
All right. So, Ben, congratulations to your friend, Fantastic Four. There you go. All right.
That was the shittiest answer we've ever given. We told him about a hypothetical book, and then we're like, I don't know, this is dad and that.
Somebody else transition now.
We got the next voicemail is a question about typeface.
Hey, this is Sean from Dallas. I'm reading through Volume 3 of The Walking Dead right now. This question is totally irrelevant to that. But what's behind the bolding of words in comic books? Like, yeah, all right.
Sometimes I gotta wonder where I am in life, where I get a question about fonts and I'm actually interested.
I was just gonna say, can I tell you how psyched I was when we got this voicemail?
I know, and I'm like, well, you have a specific answer, so why don't you?
Well, my first answer was go pick up Understanding Comics by Scott McCloud. I don't know if he specifically talks about fonts, but I hope he does.
So read it in the store first.
But regardless if he doesn't, you should read, because if you have any questions about why we do things the way they do them in comics and why things are done, Understanding Comics is like the Bible, and it's great. Even for somebody who's been reading comics for their whole life, go read it. It's really cool.
I think it used to be done like it was like just one of, you know, the attention-getting ways. But like I've seen it since then. I don't want to be like this, but when I try to write a comic script, which has never been published, so it doesn't matter. But like, it's just a really good way to emphasize how somebody talks. Because if you've got a line of text, it doesn't really say how you're pronouncing something. And as you know, like, there can be such a difference in, you know, saying it's right over here, or you know, depending
it's
on
right
which word.
Right over here.
Right.
Yeah. It's a way to help your inner dialogue while you're reading.
And for the writer to give a little more guidance over how the characters are saying things and what they're acting like, because
it can express more emotion than just straight text.
Yeah. He doesn't have a ton of tools, really. That's one of the challenges of making comics.
Yeah. So interesting. Good question, Sean. Thank you.
This next voicemail I saw coming a mile away.
This is Daryl, and I got my cloak back on and my trench coat, and I'm stalking again, coming out of retirement. because I can't understand the hate for Spider-Man 3. I thought it was a good movie. I thought it was better than Spider-Man 2. I thought it was much more interesting. Characters were better. Doc Ock was a bore in 2. It's just, I mean, in a sudden change from a loving scientist to a villain that would hurt an old lady that quickly and then turn back good again. I thought 3 was just a much better movie. Just didn't understand the hate. Later.
It's, he retired? I didn't know he was. He said he's coming out of retirement. I was shocked.
It's like being home again.
I know. It's so good. Daryl, it's good to hear from you.
And it's, you've got all your verve and fervor back.
My favorite moment was when he almost got hit by a car again. I love that. What? Not that I wanted to get hit by a car, but, you know. So, yeah, what are you going
to
do?
I don't think he was talking to us.
No, in general, I think.
The Spider-Man 3 hate. I don't know how much hate you're talking about.
Like it. I hated it.
Yeah, but it's the most successful financial movie of, like, ever.
So what?
Right, how is that a barometer for quality? Yeah, that's not a barometer for quality.
It doesn't matter. It just means, obviously, people didn't hate it.
No, you don't know that. Connor paid money to go see it and walked out hating it. You got to pay money to go to make the decision.
You don't get to that amount of
money. Did you see the second or third week drop-off?
Yeah, I was just going to say, did you see the drop-off? I think a shitload of people went to the movies that haven't gone to the movies for a long time to see this.
Yeah, totally.
I don't think people went 3 or 4 times that first weekend.
Maybe.
I think it was just a lot of people went. They were like, did you see the – no one else went to any other movie that weekend.
Yeah, it was dead.
All right. So well, either way, I mean, like, for the most part, I think people had fun that they didn't think it was great.
Well, I think everybody's allowed to think what they think of it. And Daryl liked it. Connor didn't. Yay.
Boo.
All right. So our next voicemail comes from the identity of the person who did the intro last week.
Hey, fanboy. This is Ron from Fraser, Michigan, also known as the unknown from last week, the guest announcer. Just really just a question for Ron. What is the proper etiquette for reading your comics at the gym? I tried it. It gets weird looks. I mean, I like multitasking and everything, but it's kind of hard. You know, do a sit-up, read a word balloon. I don't get it. All right, bye.
So, Ron, as someone who does read their comics at the gym, what is he doing wrong?
Well, Hunter and Ron, when you're at the gym reading comics, well, what I do is I'm not doing sit-ups. I'm not doing weights or anything like that. I've figured out I can only read comics while on the elliptical.
And do you use and the hand thing?
Yes, I do.
Really?
And what happens is because the hand thing also gives you a little bit of arm workout going.
No, I mean, I can't read when I use the hand thing.
Oh no, I use the hand thing. What I do is I get one of those plastic things. I don't know if your gym has them, but my gym has like these little plastic kind of like S-shaped pieces of plastic for like books and magazines and stuff that you put all over the machine. And then I get going and I pick out a comic, I open it up, and I go and I read the 2 pages, and then I take one hand off the elliptical and turn the page and do it and turn the page. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to keep my body away from the comic because I don't want to get sweat on the comic because I have to bag and board it and save it because it's going to be worth something. So, so the trick is that really I've got a window of about maybe 25 minutes before I get to be a sweaty mess and I can't read them anymore.
How many can you read that time?
I'm a fast reader, so I can get through maybe like 6 or so in that time. Yeah. So and that's not to say whenever I go to the gym and read comics at the gym, I'm going to get the point, like the story. I go back and I read them again and kind of closer and look at the art and drink it in.
It's funny, but, I would never read comics in the gym and basically for the same reasons as speculation, except I'm not doing any of that.
We are full of inconsistencies and contradictions.
I would ruin the comics if I read them at the gym.
Yeah, no, I keep them fairly pristine. So Ron, stay away from the setups. So there you go, Ron. If you have any specific questions, you can email me at ron@ifanboy.com. We'll talk because your name's Ron. Our next
that
voicemail
offers
comes
open to anyone who has the name of Ron. He will respond to everything.
Our next voicemail comes from somebody who likes the Netflix.
Hi, iFanboy. This is Luke Hopkins from Denver. I just got network from Netflix, your sponsor, and it really reminded me a lot of The Nightly News. The Nightly News is a really good book. I noticed you guys haven't talked about it yet, so I was wondering what you guys thought about it. Also, I love the podcast, and I love Netflix and all of your great sponsors. Bye.
Well, then, I think did anybody else read Nightly News or just me?
I didn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. I'm going to get it in trades because everyone's talking about it.
I avoided it, and then because, Connor, you didn't like the beginning of it. But since then, I've been very much intrigued because I do want to read it when the question comes
out. I did not like it. I just didn't like it enough to keep buying. I didn't think it was bad.
You dropped it, right?
Yeah, well, I only read the first issue. My problem is that Luke is correct. It is very much like Network. Network did it a lot better.
Nice.
You know, so it's like, I don't need to be told again the media is stupid and it's corporate and it's...
I want you to go to your window,
Connor,
open it.
Are you, in fact, mad as hell?
Maybe.
And you weren't going to take it anymore?
I wasn't going to take it anymore, and I didn't pay the $3.99 or whatever it cost for the next issue.
I'm sorry, Ron ruined my joke earlier, so I had to take from him there.
That's fine.
He didn't ruin it.
I wasn't going to take it. I was asking about
it.
Just
beat
me
to it.
So if you have a question, want to call us, you can call 1-888-FANBOYS. That's 1-888-326-2697.
Put Network on the Netflix, by the way.
It's awesome.
Yeah,
it's a great
Netflix.
Movie.
Yeah.
So we're done.
We got a lot of things to talk about. All right, so let's talk about the forum thing first. Josh?
There is, thanks to several users on the forum, notably Paper or Poll. Paul? I don't know how to say that. Anyway, he started a thread to hook up writers with artists who want to work on things. And this isn't, you know, they're not trying to put a graphic novel together. They're putting short things together, 3-, 4-page, 5-page stories. So they're, you know, not surprisingly in need of some more artists. There's a couple of people on there, and they're working their little patooties off.
I think it's just Lindsay. I think she's drawing with two hands.
Well, no, you've got Fred's doing some stuff with photos.
That's right. That's right. Fred's doing photos.
And there's a couple of other people. But if you're listening to this and you don't go to the forums, shame on you. No, you should go and check that out if that sounds like something you might be interested in. If you're an artist or you're looking for a collaborator, or even if you're also a writer, you should still make an appearance and check out what's going on because you may find somebody you mesh well with. Or if you're an artist or writer who doesn't need anybody to help you with but you want to go, there's probably people who need advice and help and stuff like that, and it's just a really good learning creative place, and that's a sticky at the top of the Rev3 forum that you can get to through ifanboy.com, so you should go there.
Yeah, just click forums up in the top nav. So awesome. It's very cool. A very cool thing.
We're really glad that kind of thing is happening on the forum.
Yeah. So Connor, what else is going on in iFanboy.com this week?
Well, if you listened to the show last week, you heard the whole Black Panther debacle.
When the show was funny.
That is where Black Panther comes in, and it is the worst house guest in the world. Well, also on the forum, some people ran with that idea, and they did produce some art, and there was a comic strip, and so we're having another contest, because we still have some Scenic games, some Marvel Scenic games, so we're going to... give out to the winner the Marvel Scenic game. The contest is to portray the Black Panther, the worst house guest in the world. You can do that in any form. It doesn't have to be art. It can be just writing. It can be a comic strip. It can be drawing. It can be anything you want, as long
as you can write a song.
You could even send in a little audio play if you wanted to. but we're going to have a contest, and there are no dates on here, so I don't know when the date
is. I think the deadline is May 30th. Is that correct? Josh,
yes.
Next Wednesday?
It's this show's going to be on Sunday, so the Thursday is the...
The 31st, yes. I'm sorry, it's the 31st. So the deadline is May 31st at 5 p.m.
And then we will
Eastern
announce
Standard
the winner.
Time.
We will announce the winner on the show that comes out
next
on June
Sunday.
3rd, which will be episode number 83.
Yes, so send your submissions to contact@ifanboy.com.
And the subject line is to say T'Challa Contest.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we can,
and that's T'Challa, in case you're a DC fan.
And so whatever you can think of, you know, we've already gotten a lot of emails. So
there's a thread about this on ifanboy.com, and there's also there's some examples of some people that have already submitted stuff because we started the contest announcement already. So check it out; it'll be fun.
Cool. And if you're listening to this show before May 31st and you live in the New York City area, you might be aware of the fact that Strangers in Paradise is ending. The last issue comes out in 2 weeks, I think. The Comic Book Legal Defense Fund is throwing a party for Terry Moore, kind of like a series wrap party, and it's going to be in New York City.
It's also a benefit for this series.
It is a benefit. It's $20 to get in, and that gets you into the party. There's going to be a lot of professionals at this party, by the way. I got a sneak peek at the guest list, and there's going to be a lot of cool people there. And you also get something for your $20. I think you get a limited edition print.
Signed.
Signed, yes. And if you want to pay a little more, I think for $100, you could sign up to be a VIP, and that's you get into the party earlier. You get to hang out with Terry, hang out with the other pros, and you get more swag. That's a limited seating. They might even be sold out by now. I hope they're not.
It all goes to a good cause.
It all goes to a good cause. So go to strangersinparadise.com or go to cbldf.com or go to Google, type in Comic Book Legal Defense Fund, and you can find it. Or it might be cbldf.org. I forget. But go to strangersinparadise.com. All the info's there. And we might be there in case you want to buy us a drink. So,
furthermore,
finally,
later this month, we wanted to let people know who are going to be going to the Heroes Con that we will definitely be there.
Charlotte, here we come.
June 15th to 17th in Charlotte, North Carolina. The Heroes Con is taking place. You can go to their website. So just Google Heroes Con, or we'll have a link up eventually.
Yeah, we'll put up a post about it, and we'll ask you folks what pros at the con you want us to talk to and that sort of thing.
Yeah, if you're going to be there, because we've traditionally got a lot of emails from people in Charlotte or the North Carolina area. So if you're going to be there, let us know. We'd like to say hi.
Couple of things. If you live in the Charlotte area, going to the con, let us know. If you know of good barbecue places, let us know. Also, Friday night, June 15th, we may or may not be recording the podcast, and you may or may not be able to watch it. We're still working out those details, but we don't know if anybody would want to see that. So if you want to see that, email us at contact@ifanboy.com, and we'll let you know the details. So
that's right.
Very good.
Good times.
One more thing.
Bad by all. One more thing.
This Wednesday, another video show.
Woo!
Yay!
Yay.
This is when we talk about teams.
Yay.
I don't know what that means, but you'll find out next Wednesday.
Teamwork makes
Wednesday,
the difference.
Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Go to ifanboy.com or go to revision3.com/ifanboy. So, all right. And if you have any emails or if you want to email us, you can shoot us our questions at contact@ifanboy.com or you can call the voicemail line at 1-888-FANBOYS. That's 326-2697.
Yeah, so you can go to ifanboy.com and you can post there on the Pick of the Week thread to talk about the other books of the week that we didn't talk about, or you can join in all the other discussion. You can also go to the forums, which are linked at the top of ifanboy.com, and there's a whole wide variety of things happening there. It's a madhouse.
We need friends. Badly. If you would like to be a friend, please, please come and be our friend through any of our various spacings. There's myspace.com/ifanboy or comicspace.com/ifanboy, facebook.com that you have to search for, and then that would be ifanboy, or verb.com/ifanboy. Basically, it soothes our wounded egos to see that we have lots of people who went through the trouble of looking for us and hitting the little friend button.
And finally, if you want to go to podcastalley.com or iTunes or some of the other podcasting places online and leave a comment or a rating or a vote for us, or dig.com or in the podcasting section, please do. We love to get your feedback via comments and that sort of thing. And tell your friends about the show. That's the best way to get the word out. We are trying to spread the iFanboy word across the world, so make sure you tell at least 5 people this week about the show.
And then have them tell 5 people, and then tell 5 people.
And then email us, because we have a relative who needs to get in the country, but we need $5,000. So
and for
if you
that $5,000, you will be richly rewarded.
Oh, the spam joke's always funny. Okay. Anyway, finally, because we need $5,000 to get our relatives into the country, if you go to ifanboy.com/donations...
That's what we're using it for?
No, I'm kidding. There is no iFanboy relative. All of our families...
We're all orphans.
Yeah. Yes.
Which is why we need the money.
So if you want to go to ifanboy.com/donations, some folks have donated this week. They were very generous. We thank you. You know who you are, and we really appreciate it. And there's a lot of good stuff coming your way this summer from us, and we hope that you will enjoy and reap the benefits of it.
We're literally already tired.
Yes, and it's not even summer yet, and it's hot.
Here's the question for the people. Do they want the more – all right, it's hot, and you can make – it's the first big heat wave of the summer, and we've all lost our minds. Clearly.
Yes.
So is it worse to have a heat show, or is it worse to go on hiatus for 3 months? You decide.
Because we're thinking about a summer hiatus.
You know what?
We might go on a reprint. Oh, my God. Reruns. I said reprints. We're going to go on fucking reprints.
That's awesome.
We're gonna be publishing X-Men number 90 from 1967.
We'll just take them back to episode number 15, and they'll be like, right. Wow, the show really is good now. Because it wasn't then.
So let us know if you can deal with our heat-induced madness.
I feel like this show is like the picture from Back to the Future. And we're fading out. Like,
are you wearing a Mickey Mouse T-shirt?
In fact, no. I'm the man.
Are you wearing a class of '86 shirt?
Yeah, that's how I feel right now.
With really high shorts, like the brother.
That was Jimmy Olsen.
It was Jimmy Olsen. Yeah, I like that actor. What happened to him?
He has commercials
Jimmy Olsen.
Now.
Yeah, he does do commercials, yeah. So
yeah.
All right, I think that's it. I'm Ron.
I'm Connor.
And I'm Hunter.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.